Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's live Monday, June the 21st. The emergent church movement's been around for a long time, and it does not appear to be going away anytime soon. So after about a decade or so of calling itself this and asking questions and engaging in conversation and openly reevaluating everything in the Christian faith from the top to the bottom, from the bottom all the way to the top, what is the state of the emergent church? What is it? What kind of questions is it still asking? And why does it seem so adverse to coming to any conclusions, to answering any of those questions? Well, last Friday, we had an opportunity to talk with Brian McLaren. He first came on, on my radar screen, when he wrote A Generous Orthodoxy, wherein he kind of refused all labels that traditionally marked out territory in Christian confession and wanted to talk about a new kind of Christianity. His latest book is actually called A New Kind of Christianity, 10 Questions That Are Transforming the Faith. He's one of the brightest lights, and I think safe to say still a leader in the emergent church movement. We talked with him, and I'd like to play a part of that interview for you this afternoon. There's too much of it to play all at once. We'll do some more tomorrow. And in about 25 minutes, we're going to open the phones, and I want your reaction to the interview so far with Brian McLaren on the emerging church. Listen very carefully, and then in about 25 minutes, give us a call. 1-877-623-6943. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Twitter us at issuesetc, or leave your comment and question at the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Brian McLaren is a social activist and former pastor. Time magazine called him one of America's 25 most influential evangelicals, and he's author of several books, including A New Kind of Christianity. I began my conversation with him late last week asking, what does he mean by a new kind of Christianity?
Well, Todd, the title in some ways can mean that as a lot of us look around and look at what gets presented as Christianity today, we feel that we see something that is very out of sync and out of spirit and out of character with the life and teaching and example of Jesus that we read about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so we're seeking to try to go into that gap between what we read there and what we see around us. So in that way, even though I'm calling it a new kind of Christianity, I think in many ways we're trying to go back to roots and sources and rediscover what it means to really have a faith that focuses on Christ and the way of life that he taught us.
So would you say it's a kind of a repristination, an attempt at repristination, or an attempt to go further and beyond or evolve?
Well, I think either way you say that, there could be problems. For example, if this has been tried an awful lot of times before in church history, let's go back and finally get it right. First of all, you can't forget what's gone before, nor should you. I think there are so many wonderful strengths and blessings of these 2,000 years of church history. And there are some terrible atrocities and failures and weaknesses, too. And both, really, I think, should be resources for us. Obviously, there's the strengths and the heroes inspire us. And they're in many ways, an inheritance that we have to make sure we don't squander. And even the failures and mistakes, I think, have an important role to humble us, and there's a lot we can learn from them. So in that sense, I wouldn't say repristination is exactly what I'm arguing for. And in one sense, you could say that the Christian faith continues to grow and mature, so we're trying to keep moving forward, learn from our past, learn from our present experience, and keep moving forward. But the place where that word repristination fits is that I think this is this wonderful gift that we have in the New Testament. We have both the image and example of Jesus and the amazing experience of the early church to be a continual inspiration, and in some ways a continual measure that we can go back to and a kind of a mirror to see ourselves in.
In this new kind of Christianity, what is man's basic malady? What is man's basic problem? What is the remedy to that, Brian?
Well, first of all, the book A New Kind of Christianity. One of the things I'm trying to do is, instead of spell out kind of a manifesto or a set of doctrines or propositions, I'm really trying to open up some of the questions that are being raised around the world by Christians from different backgrounds: evangelical, Pentecostal, Roman Catholic, traditional Protestant. But I think most of us would agree that the old Bible word for our problem, sin, is the right word to go to. I think one of the things that many of us are trying to do is to help us remember that in the Scriptures, sin is a personal and a social reality. There's a personal dimension to it and a social dimension to it. And sin has, there are many different angles in on the reality of sin in the Scriptures, and I think we see these in our own lives. For example, there's the dimension that we describe in relation to a judge, the kind of sin, the dimension of sin that's a crime. There's also the dimension of sin that's like a sickness. There's a dimension of sin that's like a war that kind of ravages the landscape of our soul. So, there are many different angles in on it, but I think that old three-letter word gets right to the root of things.
So is man's basic problem his culpability for his sins before God?
Well, that's probably a place where, some of us would emphasize more one side and more the other. For example, some of us might emphasize that man's primary problem is that he has sinned and is guilty and faces punishment and condemnation by God. Others of us would say, well, no, the primary dimension of sin is that it steals, kills, and destroys. It ruins human beings, and human beings destroy each other, and human beings then destroy creation itself. And God, because God loves us and loves all of creation, is trying to rescue and heal and save us from sin. So in that sense, in one sense, it's almost as if that our primary danger is God because of our sin. And in the other way of seeing it, no, our primary ally or savior or hope is God because of our sin. And, I think there's some truth to both sides. I think the first side has been emphasized pretty strongly for centuries, and I think we need to pay a little more attention to the second side.
So it sounds like you fall more with the latter rather than the former.
Well, it just depends, Todd. I mean, so many of these issues, there are these dynamic balances, these dynamic tensions in Scripture, and when you look back over church history, I think you'll agree, we often overcorrect, So we go too far in one direction, and then we overcorrect in the other. So I'd like to try to avoid overcorrecting. But my sense is that, especially in Western Christianity, in Catholicism and Protestantism, as opposed to the Eastern tradition, we have really emphasized, in some ways, God as the danger. I think it was articulated in a way that an awful lot of Americans have read about in Jonathan Edwards' famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. That side has been emphasized pretty strongly in a lot of our churches, and so many folks who've grown up in our churches need to get a dose of the other side. On the other hand, there are an awful lot of people who seem to just be somewhat cavalier and, I don't know, either callous or just lighthearted about the seriousness of sin. And those folks, I think, need a dose of being reminded that we're accountable to God for how we live. And that doesn't just include, the list of sins that, quote, other people do, but each of us has to be faced with, as Jesus said, with the big sticks in our own eye.
Okay, so that's diagnosis, remedy. What is the good news of the gospel?
Well, according to Jesus, the good news is the kingdom of God is at hand. And I don't think we can improve on that brief but very powerful articulation.
What does that mean?
Well, I think it means an awful lot of things. In fact, it's interesting with Jesus himself. When you know, if you were to ask Jesus, what does that mean? He tends to launch into a series of parables to explain it. And I think one of the reasons for that is that phrase "kingdom of God" is extremely powerful and extremely rich. And but I think there's a wonderful short definition of kingdom of God by implication in the Lord's Prayer. And that is that God, in the Lord's Prayer, we pray, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so to me, this really is the essence of Jesus' message of the kingdom, that God is calling all of us to repent. God is calling all of us to return to God and believe. And God is calling us to stop working for our own selfish little personal empires and the kingdoms of this world, and really invest our lives in the way of life and the set of values that really reflect the heart of God.
Well, when we come back, a little bit more of our interview with Brian McLaren, a social activist and former pastor. Time magazine called him one of America's 25 most influential evangelicals. He's author of several books, including his latest, A New Kind of Christianity, 10 Questions That Are Transforming the Faith. We got, time today for about another 10 minutes of this interview. We'll continue it tomorrow, but I want your reaction in the last 10 minutes of the program, here in about 10 minutes. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org, Twitter us at issuesetc, or leave your reactions at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Good news from Kansas.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
It has now been 1 year since the murder of Kansas partial birth abortionist George Tiller. And according to Kansans for Life, the state has seen an 11% drop in abortions. Despite what abortion advocates maintain, though, the group says Tiller's murder, which they strongly condemn, is not the reason for fewer abortions. Instead, Kansans for Life points to the work of 76 pregnancy help centers and a new state law guaranteeing information rights for pregnant women, including the right to view an ultrasound before having an abortion. The closing of Tiller's business left 4 abortion clinics in Kansas.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Live this Monday afternoon, the 21st of June. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're in the middle of listening to part of an interview that we did late last week with Brian McLaren, author of A New Kind of Christianity, on the emergent church movement. Now, in about 15 minutes, I'd like your reaction to this part of our interview with Brian McLaren. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can leave a question, a comment, or a reaction at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Twitter us at issuesetc, or give us a call. Here in about 15 minutes, your reaction to this part of the interview with Brian McLaren on the Emergent Church Movement, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. Our conversation with Brian on the Emergent Church Movement continued. He had mentioned before Jesus calling for repentance and belief. My question, believe in what?
For example, in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus says, repent and believe the good news. So Jesus defines the good news, the kingdom of God is at hand. So if I believe when Jesus says the kingdom of God is at hand, that calls me to repent. And if I believe it, then I'm going to turn toward God and open my life and my heart to God and stop living for and investing in another way of life, another set of priorities.
The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, and I paraphrase obviously, says, I would remind you in what terms I first preached the gospel to you. And then he talks explicitly about the death and resurrection of Jesus. This he equates with the gospel that he first preached to them, that he first received. What do you do with a text like that, where Paul defines the gospel explicitly as the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ?
I might just turn the question back to you and say, well, how do you think that Paul has a different gospel than Jesus?
No, not at all. I think Paul is actually explaining there, in its kind of most simple sense, what Jesus means by the kingdom of God. The inbreaking of the kingdom of God is Christ's substitution for mankind in his perfect life, his sacrificial death, and his resurrection. I think that's what Paul is saying there. How would you differ, if at all?
Well, first of all, I think I wouldn't want to just sweep off the table, you know, everything we have in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where Jesus has so much to say about the kingdom. And I also wouldn't want to in any way minimize trying to understand how those words sounded to people in the first century in Israel, where they're under the oppression of the Romans, and to speak of a kingdom is to speak of a very radical and revolutionary thing. So I wouldn't want in any way to take 1 Corinthians 15 as a way of just minimizing the absolute centrality of Christ, his life, his teaching, his death, his resurrection, sending of the Spirit, the whole package. So I would not want to interpret Paul, I wouldn't want to reduce everything Jesus had to say just to those few sentences of 1 Corinthians 15. I would start with Jesus, and then I would see Paul as trying to emphasize to the early church that these were essential elements of the gospel, and he's especially interested there in emphasizing the resurrection. I mean, that's where he goes in the rest of 1 Corinthians 15. And when, you know, I try to understand that passage, not just sort of sentence by sentence, but also rhetorically, it feels to me that where he really is going, the real conclusion he wants to draw, comes at the end of that long passage where he says, my brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And so this work of the Lord, in my understanding, is the same work of the kingdom. And so the purpose of believing in resurrection and emphasizing the resurrection of Christ as he does is so that we will be sure that we don't give up, because sometimes the kingdoms of this world seem pretty darn powerful. You know, the forces of violence seem a lot more powerful than the forces of reconciliation, and the forces of greed seem a lot more powerful than the forces of generosity. And he's saying, but remember, Christ died and Christ rose, and that resurrection tells us that in the end, you know, God's will and God's way and God's kingdom will triumph.
So, and thanks for being patient, because I'm still kind of on the same thread here. Is the good news of the gospel what Jesus has done to save mankind, or what mankind does subsequent to that? I'm trying to clear that up in my mind.
Well, I would absolutely never say the latter. But I would not want to say the former in a way that invalidates many things that Jesus himself said. Because Jesus, it seems to me, taught, you know, the way he taught his disciples was a way that he was involving them in his ongoing work. You know, he wasn't interested in only giving them a message about how to go to heaven after they died. He really was interested in recruiting them and training them and teaching them a different way of life so that they would be able to, you know, be part of God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. So, the way you just phrased it, I think I understand where you're coming from. And Todd, you and I might just have a difference of opinion on this. But I hope that makes it plain. I believe ultimately the work of the kingdom of God is not ever something that human beings can do in their own strength apart from God. That's absurd. Jesus said, you know, apart from me, you can do nothing. So that's absurd to me.
If I've read you correctly, and I've read a lot of what you've written, you're critical of both kind of pop American evangelicalism and of old line kind of mainline Protestant liberalism, which has the latter has been marked by what is usually called a social gospel message. How is your view different from the social gospel message of old line Protestant liberalism?
Well, you know, one of the problems with that is I had a sort of a caricature of what old line Protestant social gospel was that I had heard from my fellow evangelicals and fundamentalists. I grew up in a kind of a fundamentalist setting. And you know, I was told that they didn't believe in miracles, and they believed it all depended on human action, and that all the gospel was be nice, or all the gospel was a political movement, and that sort of thing. So, you know, what I'm saying is very different from that. It turns out, I think that's probably very different from what an awful lot of Protestants ever meant when they were signing on for the social gospel. So, you know, I hesitate to you know, try to compare what I'm saying to something that I'm not sure historically really was real or existed. I also think that because I come from an evangelical background and I'm very familiar with the critique of liberalism among evangelicals, I think that critique tends to be very flattering to evangelicals and unflattering to mainline Protestants. I might offer a different analysis of what some of the problems with mainline liberalism, you know, were and are. And ironically, I think that evangelicals are buying into many of the very weaknesses of that have really hurt sort of traditional Protestantism in the last century, especially.
All right. Now, that's not all the interview with Brian McLaren. There's more that we'll play tomorrow. But what do you think of what Brian McLaren has had to say so far? You've heard about, I don't know, about 20 minutes of our conversation with him on the emergent church movement. What do you think so far? I want your reaction, and especially after this break, I want your calls, your email. You can Twitter us or leave your comments at our Facebook fan page. Our call-in number live this Monday afternoon, the 21st of June, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. You can email us right here in the studio. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can Twitter us at @issuesetc. Or our Facebook fan page set up just to take your questions and your comments, your reaction to our conversation so far with Brian McLaren on the emergent church movement, facebook.com/issuesetc. So far, he's talked about repenting and believing the good news of the kingdom. What is that good news? That Jesus has come. The kingdom is here. We talked a little bit about the work of the kingdom. Look, so far, a lot of it sounds very kind of standard boilerplate language of of historic Christianity. He's having a little difference of agreement with me on narrowing the good news to the death, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we still have yet to discuss, and we'll get to that tomorrow, yet to discuss what that death and resurrection of Jesus Christ actually means. A lesson in what? The need to always define our terms as carefully as possible, especially in this postmodern age. Your reaction to our interview with Brian McLaren for the next 15 minutes, rounding off this hour of Issues, Etc., this Monday afternoon, June the 21st, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Email us here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org, Twitter us at issuesetc, or leave your comment for us at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Your reaction to our conversation with Brian McLaren after this.
Cause we can't see eye to eye. There ain't no good guy. There ain't no bad guy. There's only you and me, and we just disagree.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muskuta, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues, Etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muskuta, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
If you're a pastor or layperson in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we have some timely resources for you. The leadership of the LCMS is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. You'll find show transcripts about these proposed changes and an updated list of questions for President Gerald Kishnick's task force. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Listen on Demand.
You canceled the wrong show. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
I attended Sunday services in a beautiful Singapore Lutheran congregation. One local man approached me and asked with a pronounced Southeast Asian accent, "You live in St. Louis? You know Todd Wilkin?"
Pastor Matt Harrison reading from his new audiobook, Christ Have Mercy, How to Put Your Faith in Action.
Who? You mean Todd Wilkin? It turned out this man, half a world away, was a regular listener via the internet, and he's hardly alone. It really is a whole new day. We are witnessing the greatest free flow of faithfully Lutheran information in the history of the Lutheran Church. It is the worldwide moment for confessional Lutheranism. It is Missouri's moment.
You can download Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison at cph.org. It costs only $10.99 to download. This new audiobook is a must-listen for Issues Etc. fans. Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison, cph.org. All right, I want to hear from you. Your reaction to our interview so far. There's actually still a lot of the interview left that we'll have to do tomorrow. And then on Wednesday, we hope to have Chris Roseborough in, who's made a thorough study of the emerging church movement and continues to study it, to react to certain parts of this interview with Brian McLaren on the emergent church movement. I'm interested in your reaction now for the next 10 minutes of the program. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org, Twitter us at issuesetc, or leave your comment at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Herman's calling from Illinois. Herman, you're first.
Thank you for taking my call. It strikes me that, yes, he does mention the atonement of Jesus Christ, but he leaves it behind in sort of the corner and then goes on to balloon out kind of talk about the kingdom and the present and good works, in a sense, and so forth. And it starts to sound like a rehash of Harry Emerson Fosdick, social gospel. And once you get into that, you're not looking at the atonement, but you're dealing with social agendas and in that vein, and you have minimized or lost the connection to the atonement of Jesus Christ.
Herman, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Illinois. Well, it's quite true that if you read McLaren's work, and not so much from this conversation, although you'll hear hints of it, if you read McLaren's work, you will find that he is not one. He actually avoids limiting, and he does consider it limiting, the message of the good news of the gospel or of the kingdom to Christ's saving work. He thinks that that's kind of important, but it's really about thy will be done here on earth. And he thinks far too much emphasis has been put on salvation, eternal salvation, salvation from sin, forgiveness of sins, and things like that. And what are you left with after that? You're left with the kingdom that we build here on earth, in spite of what he said about it, God doing it all. Mark is calling from his car. Mark, welcome.
Pastor Todd, on the one hand, every statement comes with, I don't know, 100 qualifications. On the other hand, he seems to be trying to say something, but I'm not entirely sure what. And I kind of wonder if he's not just going to be left with, we have to do something. But I didn't get too much more out of it than that.
Well, and there's a lot more interview to listen to. It gets a little more explicit in terms of what he's willing to say and not say in tomorrow's portion of the interview. So stay tuned there. And Mark, thank you very much for listening in your car. By the way, back to Herman, who called before, you'll want to tune in tomorrow because I do ask him about his association with Jim Wallis and Sojourners and the religious left in America. It's very interesting to hear what he has to say there. Paul in Milwaukee says, is a key to understanding the guest's thinking a progressive evolution, a product of his education and thinking, not a statement of revelation from God? The church is emergent. It is growing, according to him. Movement and improvement are joined, as with Darwin. Is struggle in the church historically based controversies, which he deplores, a struggle with for the fittest idea? That's interesting. Very interesting possibility. And then implementation of the winner. The disciples are taught a better life. Yet the true gospel is not completely rejected, and the guest makes some free will choices. Complex. Yes, it is complex. You are quite right, and thanks for listening in Milwaukee. Paul, Pat in Michigan City, Indiana, says, my first reaction to Mr. McLaren is, huh? He didn't seem to answer your questions, just talked around them. Now, I think we need to be fair. He is answering my questions, but these are the answers he's willing to give. The answers he's willing to give are highly qualified, kind of yin and yang. You got a lot of that at the beginning. Some of us believe that. Others believe that. Well, what do you believe? Well, mostly this. But these are the answers that the emergent church gives. Everything is kind of a work in progress. Now, in the next part of the interview, it begins with questions about whether or not the emergent church is propositional. And by that, I mean, can it not only ask questions, can it actually give answers? And his answer there surprised me, but you have to wait till tomorrow, I think, to tune in and hear what he had to say there. Charles in Accident, Maryland, he says, about 17 minutes in, he says, if you don't make statements, I'm not sure you can have a conversation. Well, you'll hear that tomorrow. That's ironic, given the fact that, yes, it's tomorrow. That's ironic, given the fact that he hasn't been making a lot of explicit statements so far. And the ones that he has will later be very seriously qualified. So what do you think about what Brian McLaren had to say? Our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. You can Twitter us at issuesetc. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or give us a call. It's Monday afternoon, June the 21st, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Let's see. Jill in Florissant, Missouri says, it sounds like getting him to commit to a position is like nailing Jell-O to a wall. Yes, but you can only get what you can get. I mean, if your framework of thought does not permit for a statement that is true now, tomorrow, the next day, and that is unqualified in its truth, then these are the kind of answers you're going to get. Yeah, it's a little bit like Jell-O to the wall. This is what the emergent church leaves us with. Everything is always being discussed, reevaluated, reinvented, rethought. And if you're always doing that, you're not going to be able, you're not going to be, this is my point, you're not going to be able to give the kind of answers that historic creedal Christianity has been comfortable giving. Brett via Facebook from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania says he's pretty hard to pin down, very loose with definitions and not willing to take too strong a stance on any answer he gives. Well, that is true. Here is something we can learn so far, I think, from our conversation with Brian McLaren. And I think it is very important to learn this. Defining terms. A movement, any movement, a political, social, economic, especially religious, theological, that will not define terms is hardly one you want to jump on. It's amazing how often new ideas are introduced into the church because the old terminology is redefined, but no one's really sent the memo, so to speak. In fact, heresy kind of lives on this, using the old terms with new definitions. And it behooves Christians in every age, not only in this postmodern age where everything is up for grabs, it behooves us in every age to always ask for the definition of terms. That's a big reason we talk to people like Brian McLaren, so we can hear the terms. We know, I've read his books, I know what he's going to say, I want him to define those terms. And those who say, you know, we live in a postmodern age and everything's being rethought and defining terms, it's impossible to do nowadays. Not so. In fact, I would submit that in this postmodern age where everything is up for grabs and everything's being redefined, it is more important than ever to clearly and explicitly define our terms. Simple terms that everyone seems to take for granted, like gospel, good news, kingdom, even Jesus, salvation. Now, as you'll see as our interview progresses with Brian McLaren tomorrow, when you start to scratch the surface and see what the definitions of those things are, those terms that he's used so clearly or so freely in the first part of our interview, start to scratch the surface, you get very definite, very different definitions indeed. Sue says, if he doesn't define the gospel as the good news that Christ died for our sins and brought peace between man and God, then I'm concerned about this movement. Well, Sue, you should be. As I said, any movement that won't define terms is a dangerous one. But you always have to ask, how do you define your terms? And then it needs to be said against the Word of God, not against what we think these terms ought to mean today in their cultural context. But terms, that's why I brought up the issue with about St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. St. Paul says, I will talk to you about the terms in which I preached the gospel to you. And as a hint of tomorrow's interview, Brian McLaren was not entirely comfortable narrowing it to those terms. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month is truly stunning. You open it up and you look at these pictures in this book called The Work of His Hands, and you will be riveted. Pictures from space taken by an astronaut who spent 6 months aboard the International Space Station, A View of Creation from Space. Find out more about this book, The Work of His Hands. Call Concordia Publishing House. Order it, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June called The Work of His Hands. You have to see it to believe it. Tomorrow, we'll continue our interview with Brian McLaren on the emergent church movement, and we'll continue to get your reactions as well to this interview with him on the emergent church movement. Why do we define our terms? Just to be sticklers? No, because just as they say the devil is in the details, so is God. He's in the details of the word that he has revealed to us. And these words mean things. They meant things when he said them and revealed them in Scripture, and they still mean that today. So the question is not necessarily how Brian McLaren defines his terms, or Todd Wilkin defines his terms, or any of you define your terms, but how does God define them? Tomorrow we'll talk with more of Brian McLaren, get more of your reaction. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.